beautiful Dr. Lavina Wilkin. Her message is entitled Enlightened Transformation, Transforming Our Lives Through the Power of Forgiveness. I know she has worked very hard on this. Let me tell you a little bit. There's a lot to read about Dr. Lavina Wilkin in here. I'm just going to tell you a little bit. So she is the director of PhD programs at Sullivan University. Before joining Sullivan, she spent 26 years in the construction industry. And 3 of those years, she co-owned a masonry subcontracting company. She started teaching as an adjunct instructor in 1999. After selling the construction company in 2001, she came back to work at Sullivan full-time as the associate director of the evening and weekend division. She has also earned as the dean of the College of Business Administration and the dean of conflict management programs for Sullivan. She has facilitated workshops on communication, conflict, emotional intelligence, forgiveness, peace from conflict, and workplace bullying. A paper she co-wrote on workplace bullying was presented at the Psychology Research Unit of the Athens, Greece Institute for Education and Research. Lavina has published an article on workplace bullying. She has contributed a chapter in the Handbook of Mediation, Research, Theory, and Practice. I knew that. She is also a co-editor of a book entitled Organizational Conflicts, and I could go on and on. So let's get to it and get her up here.
Well, I should have written more, and then I wouldn't be up here talking. You could just talk about it. Thank you, everybody, so much for coming, and thank you to my cheering squad that I have back there. So many of my friends and family came to support me today, and I so appreciate that. You know, when Marianne first asked me if I would do the talk this Sunday, I said, oh, sure, I'll be glad to do that. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? So as Kristen said, my background is conflict management. That's what I've done for several years. And I just thought, well, I'll talk about something to do with conflict management, but what about that? And as I was looking for things and doing some research, one of the things that popped up in a search was a book that I've started writing on forgiveness. And I haven't written in that book for a couple of years. I put it aside and started doing other projects. And I started reading through it, and I thought, wow, that's some good stuff. Maybe I should finish that book. And then a couple days later, I'm cleaning out the bottom drawer of my nightstand, and I run across the 2017 Lent pamphlet, and it's open. And guess what the word of the day was? Forgiveness. And I thought, But it took one more thing. On Facebook, I get this notice every day for the law of attraction. And so I opened up my Facebook and looked at the law of attraction, and it talked about forgiveness. So I said, okay, Spirit, I'll talk to them about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a topic that I've researched, I've read about, I've conducted workshops, and I've practiced my own forgiveness too. And the first thing I want to tell you today is that I am not a minister. I am not up here to preach to you. What I hope to do today is to just share some of my stories, some of my experiences, some things that have helped me, and hopefully along the way you'll find some things that will help you too if you need those things. I think most of us at some point in our lives have felt the sting of someone's hurtful words or hurtful actions. And sometimes we think of those as even being unforgivable, because some things are pretty, wound us pretty deeply. In today's society, you know, I know of families that have been fractured because people are carrying around a lot of blame and anger and living in the past and just really resentful of things that have happened. And it's hurt families. Brothers not talking to siblings, children not talking to parents. Even in our own society, we're sometimes not as compassionate as we might need to be. You know, sometimes I see on my Facebook page where my My friends who are more conservative will say some really hurtful things about liberals. And my friends who are more liberal will say some really hurtful things about the conservatives. And so we've become less tolerant. If somebody isn't like us, then we are much more likely, I think, today to say things that can cause hurt and cause harm. Even in our religion, in our church society, our church, and I'll tell this story about my husband. He probably won't appreciate it, but so you may have noticed that I do have a big cheering squad here today. And when I invited all my family and friends to come and to hear my talk, he was a little nervous about that. And I said, "Well, why are you so nervous?" And he said, "Well, I don't want them to think we're weird, because unity is a little different from other traditional religions." And I said, "Sweetie, they think we're weird for a lot of reasons, not just where we go to church." So hopefully you guys don't think we're too weird out there. But anyway, I have done a lot of research on forgiveness. And one of the first papers I wrote, I ran across a guy, those things that we think are unforgivable. I ran across a guy, his name is Everett Worthington. And Dr. Worthington was at that time the executive director of the Campaign for Forgiveness at Virginia Commonwealth University. He'd been studying forgiveness since about 1990. In 1995, he wrote a book and had it published. And in 1996, he got a call that his mother had been brutally murdered by an intruder. So he said he was so angry, although he knew from his research that carrying around this blame and this anger and this resentment was really harmful to him and could cause some physical repercussions as well. But he said he was pacing the living room floor, and he was just angry. And he said he saw a baseball bat in the corner, and he looked at that bat, and he thought, "If that person was here, I would beat him to a pulp." And all of a sudden, he heard his mother's voice. His mother had been a huge supporter of his. And his mother said, "Everett," like mothers do, "who did you write that book for? Everybody else?" And at that point, he knew that what he needed to do was forgive. Not condone, not justify, as Rebecca said in the meditation, those beautiful meditation. She probably just gave my talk. But it isn't about condoning or justifying, but he did forgive. So why? Why forgive? One of the things that I would really love for you to take away from here today is that forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. It's for us. Forgiveness heals us. And sometimes that other person doesn't even know that we have forgiven them. So it isn't anything about them. Forgiveness really is letting go of the past, letting go of past transgressions, letting go of people who have hurt us, letting go of anger and resentment and blame, and moving on. And when we let go of that anger and blame and resentment, remember last week, those of you were here, and Jenny said that the universe doesn't like a vacuum. So when you let go of that anger and that blame and resentment, you're opening up a place in your heart for peace, peace of mind and freedom and love and joy. Martin Luther King said, "He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love." So forgiveness transforms us into the loving, light-filled beings that we were meant to be. To paraphrase Buddha, not forgiving is like holding a hot coal in your hand and you're just ready to throw it at the person who hurt you. Well, in the meantime, it's your heart and it's your hand that's getting burned. So if we can let go of that, Neil Donald Walsh, in his book, Conversations with God, says that hate, worry, and fear are a direct line to disease. So if there's some disease that you're feeling, then maybe there's something in your life that you need to let go of and to forgive and to release. Catherine Ponder, in her book, The Dynamic Laws of Healing, says that the surprise law of healing is forgiveness. And she has a whole chapter on that in her book. I did some, my dissertation research was on workplace bullying. And what I really wanted to know is, why are some people better able to cope with that experience and some people are still victimized by it? And I expected my findings to be that people who were able to cope took good care of themselves. They exercised, they meditated, they just took really good care of themselves. And what I found, they didn't say the word forgiveness, but there was such a clear line between the people who are still victims 5-6 years after the event and the people who have coped and moved on. And it's letting go of blame and anger. It's recognizing that you can't change what happened, but you can change your reaction to what happened. It's looking inside for help, not outside for help. All of those things. And interestingly, two of the people I interviewed shared with me their stories of cancer. And they said, I believe my cancer is a direct result of the dis-ease of carrying around this blame and this anger that I have toward the person who bullied them and also toward the university leaders. We say, and we said in our affirmations, there's one power and one presence in my life, God the good, omnipotent. But if we allow that person who hurt us to constantly be a presence in our lives, then there might be two presences and two powers, and we're giving them our power. Catherine Ponder also says that when we hold resentment against somebody, we have created an emotional link to that person that is as strong as steel. So we create that thing. There's so many benefits of forgiving, and part of it, if we can just release the chokehold of holding on to that blame and anger and realizing that forgiveness is the gift we give ourselves, it's not about them, it's about us, then we do open up that space in our heart and we express who we are really meant to be, which is those love-filled, life-filled, joy-filled spirits. The problem is so many people live in the past, and it's like carrying around this big, smelly bag of garbage that you are dragging with you everywhere you go. And anytime somebody hurts you, you take that and you put it in the bag. So the bag just gets bigger and you keep carrying it around. And then every now and then, just so people won't forget, you take out a piece and you show it to them. And you say, remember what that person did to me? Look what that person, look at this. Isn't this awful? Bob calls it the party game of Ain't It Awful, where people start talking about the bad things that have happened, and somebody says, well, you think that's bad? I got one better than that. What we need to do is get rid of our big, smelly bag of garbage. And one of the things that I think the guy's name, and my student Holly is here, so, and I always tell them they have to cite their references, so I hope I'm getting this right. A guy named Richard Holmgren said, what forgiveness really does is it gives us back our futures. Isn't that awesome? So it gives us our future, because if we're constantly living in the past, then we're not creating that wonderful future that is ours to have. A Course in Miracles says that forgiveness is the answer to almost everything. So if forgiveness is the answer to almost everything, if we can release the things that aren't doing us well, if we can release the blame and anger and replace those with peace and love and joy, if we can have that inner peace that we're so longing for, why are we so resistant to forgiving? And I just have a couple of things that I'll share with you that I think were some of my reasons for resisting. We say, well, that person doesn't deserve it. And there I just want to remind you that it's not about them. Maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe they have wounded you very badly and they don't deserve it. But you deserve it. You deserve to be free of that. You deserve to let go of that. You deserve to let go of the anger and live the life that you were meant to be. It doesn't mean that you're justifying what happened or condoning what happened. And one that I think is really important is sometimes we say, well, I'll forgive when I get an apology. That may never happen. First of all, the person may not care that they hurt you and they're not going to apologize to you. Or it could be that they don't even know that they've hurt you. Or possibly that person has transitioned on and has into the next life. You will never get an apology from a dead person. So if you're waiting for that, then you're stuck. And the good news is you don't need that apology. You can forgive. You can let go. You can move on without an apology. And for me, sometimes my monkey mind was chattering away and telling me, oh, remember, that person really hurt you. You deserve to be angry, or you're just weak if you forgive them. And none of that is true. There are stages of forgiveness that we go through, and there's a lady named Molly Layton. I really like what she has, three stages of forgiveness, and I like them because they're easy, and I like them because I've seen my own forgiveness work in her process. And the first stage is we ask, why me? Why did this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? And we have to get past that stage. That's where we feel all of the emotion, which is good. Don't deny or stuff down the emotion. Recognize it and let it move on. Don't get stuck there. Don't live there. Then the second phase is we want to hold that other person accountable. We want them to suffer. You made me suffer, you're going to suffer too. If we get stuck there, then anger and resentment and blame are constant companions. The next stage she calls transcendence, and this is where we look inside, because we realize that the only place change can happen is inside of us. It doesn't happen out there, and I can't change whatever happened to me. I can't change the events. I cannot change the past. I don't have that power, but I can change my reaction to it. I can change how I choose to forgive or not choose to forgive. So how will you know when it's time to let go? When you feel like blame and anger are your constant companions and they're causing you to live in the past and preventing you from the awesome future that you could have, it might be time to let go. Or if the relationship has ended and that person is still living rent-free in your head, it might be time to let go. Or if that steel-clad emotional tie is starting to wear you down and the burden of it is too much, then it might be time to let go. Forgiveness is not a one-time event. It is a process, and it is work. They call it forgiveness work. And it might take some time, and you might go through the stages over and over again, and that's okay. There's not a time limit. You're not going to say simply, I forgive you, and then there's magic fairy dust that's sprinkled over the event, and poof, it's gone, and you're never going to remember it again. It really is a process, and any progress is progress. This may require you to change your worldview a little bit. In Unity, one of our principles is we create our experiences through our thinking. Our beliefs become our reality. So here's your opportunity to change your story. Write a new chapter. Don't live in the past. Start to live in the future. I read something recently that your mind is like a garden. And so if you plant beautiful flowers, it's really important that you tend to them, that you water them and feed them and make sure they have enough sunlight. And if you don't do that, it's so easy for the weeds to grow up. So plant those beautiful flowers in your mind and think good thoughts. And one thing that's helped me a lot is prayer, meditation, and affirmations. And I have an affirmation that I want to share with you because this has helped me tremendously. It's today I release everything that blocks my peace. Today I embrace everything that inspires me to do all that is mine to do. So find your affirmation. What is it that works for you? And if you want to use mine, I'll make a copy and share it with you. But those daily affirmations are really important to help you get through this process and make progress on your path to forgiveness. Just imagine now that you are letting go of your past. You're not dragging around that big smelly trash bag of garbage any longer. And spirit is your constant companion. And working together through the experiences that we are creating, we get to cultivate those flowers and we get to create our own awesome, wonderful life and our own awesome, wonderful future. So what about the enlightened part of enlightened transformation? For me, That enlightenment meant the knowing, the absolute knowing, not a belief, not I think this is the way it is, but the knowing that I don't have to be stuck in the past. The knowing that I have the power, I can let go of anything that doesn't serve me any longer. That's my power that's taking it back. And the knowing that I can embrace a new life, and whatever that new life is, is mine to decide, and I can co-create that with Spirit as I go through life. And for me, this leads to enlightened transformation in my life. So for the month of May, the theme was, I am inspired to do all that is mine to do. And just from my personal experience, I know that I cannot do all that is mine to do if I am bogged down by anger and blame and resentment and an unforgiving heart. I cannot be the expression of love that I was meant to be if I'm carrying around the anger, blame, and resentment. I don't really have time to tell a story. I have this wonderful story, but it's really long, so I won't tell you. But now I have to. The reason I kind of skipped this story is I practiced this a lot yesterday. I practiced it in front of the mirror by myself, and I practiced it to my congregant, Bob. And every time I told this story, I get choked up. But it's a story that one of my colleagues told me when I was telling him that I was really interested in forgiveness. It's the story of Marie. Marie was driving to her son's house one night, and she decided to drive into a drive-through restaurant and order a burger and fries. And as she pulled up and rolled down her window, she was faced with a young man with a gun, and he was robbing her. And she threw her purse out the window and stepped on the gas, and he shot her. He shot her in the face. And Marie went through several surgeries. She suffered a lot of pain. She lost her job. She suffered financially. She sunk into depression. And her life was really spiraling out of control. So she decided one day, they did catch the young man who did this, and he was serving 12 years in prison. And she decided one day that she was going to go talk to this young man and let him know just how badly she'd been hurt. And so she made an appointment at the prison, and she sat down across from him, and she told him about her pain and her suffering and her financial problems and her depression. And he said, I'm sorry. He told her about his life growing up and that he had been bounced from foster home to foster home and that he had been abused. And he said, that doesn't condone what I did, and I'm very sorry. And Marie got up to leave, and she said, I forgive you. And she said, I didn't go there to forgive him. I had no idea those words were going to come out of my mouth. But she said, when I said them, I truly did. I forgave him. And she said a few years later, she heard he was out of prison, and she wanted to meet with him and his parole officer. She called the parole officer and said, is there anything that I can do for this young man? I just wanted to see how he's doing. And the parole officer said, because you came to the prison and talked to him, he knew that he did not want to live the rest of his life in the way that he had lived the first part of his life. Your forgiveness meant everything. He decided while he was in prison to take college courses. He got his degree. Now he's working, he's getting a promotion, and he's getting married. And the fact that you forgave him changed his entire life. And so even though forgiveness really is for us, it changes our lives, it can also have the power to change other people's lives. So my wish for you today is that you can let go of any negative emotions that keep you from being inspired to do all that is yours to do. Free yourself to be the person that you were meant to be. Fill your heart with love, joy, peace, and contentment. Thank you.